Thank you, everyone. I think we're going to start now. So I'd like to start by welcoming you all. My name's Peter Lipman. I'm the chair of Transition Network. And we were last here 3 years ago, had a fantastic conference then. And I'm really looking forward to experiencing being back here and being able to compare and contrast what difference, what's happened, what the changes are in 3 years. I'd like to thank our hosts back again for making such enormous efforts to make things work for us. And I just want to say really how proud I am to be here, because this is the 6th Transition Conference. And it's just an amazing memory what's happened over the last 6 years. And I want to say also that we've got quite a new team holding, shaping, putting this together. I want to thank them. We've got Ruth and Chrissy and Joe, who we'll be handing over to in a minute. And then I wanted to start with a very brief reflection on the theme of the conference, resilience in extraordinary times, and what that means to me, really. I probably don't need to talk about how extraordinary these times are physically in terms of the impact that we're having on the systems around us, the natural boundaries we're starting to transgress, because we all know about that. Or even about the social structures that we've created, such as our financial model, and the stresses that are becoming more and more visible. And it certainly feels as if we get a better understanding of both of those things every day, and more people get that better understanding, and yet at the same time, we understand better and better how little we know and how much we have to simply do our best to set out on some way of starting to transform what's around us right now. Which takes me straight back to a question I've been grappling with pretty much all of my life, which is how, when you look around you and you see something that you think just not only doesn't work, but is deeply dangerous, how do you stay in it and transform it rather than just turning your back on it and walking away from it? How do we create, for example, transition enterprises which can thrive while at the same time there's a Tesco's just down the road? And that's an extraordinary question. It's a question that people who've been seeking to change the world, to change themselves, have struggled with since human beings started grappling with these things. And I suppose the different bit for me, the real need for resilience in a truly extraordinary time, is the sense of a ticking clock I have. The sense that we have to get on and do this. And how do I manage to hold those two things together, the enormity of the task and the urgency, without somehow driving myself to distraction or driving people around me away and to distraction? And my deep, deep sucker and resource in that is all of you and everyone else. The fact that I'm not doing this on my own, none of us are doing this on our own, we're doing it together with others, which is really all the only thing that makes it possible for me, and actually extraordinarily makes it possible for me to have a happy and joyous life. And I also do see around me some of the changes in consciousness that maybe start to show that things can incredibly quickly transform. Recently, Transition Network was responsible for persuading, with others, for persuading the Department of Energy and Climate Change to do a truly amazing thing for a government department to do, to not only allocate £10 million to communities to start to do things around energy, but to say this fund will be managed by the communities. They will take the decision about how to shape it. I'm not aware of any precedent for a UK government department having ever done that before. And they have an underspend at the moment that they don't know how to get rid of. So obviously, we can go back to them with suggestions. And that's on a national level. And then I look around me at an international level, and I see, for example, the fact that the governments of Bolivia and of Ecuador have passed into their law, their legal system, as legislation, rights for the planet, rights for nature. And I think there's a beginning of a change in consciousness. It's just the start. And then tiny things as well, or maybe not so tiny. I see a man who I have enormous respect for, Desmond Tutu, standing up and saying, I will not speak at the same conference as Tony Blair. Now, why is that important? It's important because a man who is respected around the world for his morals, for his ethics, has stood up and said, no, we're not going to pretend that the emperor has clothes. If someone has behaved in an extraordinarily immoral, unethical way, I'm going to stand up and say something about it, even if he is apparently a member of the great and the good. And just in that single action from Archbishop Tutu, I see the beginning of that change in consciousness. And I suppose that for me is what is needed. Those sorts of changes spiraling and all of us helping to make them. Thank you.
Hello. Welcome. It's fantastic to see you all here, and to see very familiar faces, and see new faces, and people who've travelled here from the four corners of the world, and you're all very welcome. Thank you so much for coming. Sorry? Who am I? Oh, I'm Rob Hopkins. Hello. Yeah, I'm involved with Transition Network and stuff. And this is our sixth Transition Network conference. And the first one that we had 6 years ago, as you might imagine, was in Stroud in Nailsworth in a place called Ruskin Mill. Is anyone here who was at that? Not many then. Okay, well, there was about 80 people came along to that, and it was in this place with lots of ponds full of fish and vegetable gardens and fantastic cake. And Richard Heinberg came, and none of us really knew what transition was at that time at all. There wasn't really very much going on. There was no books. There was not much. We all kind of got together in this beautiful place to try and figure out what transition was. And now 6 years later, here we are, six conferences later, here we are, in what is, in effect, a kind of a six-day festival of transition being hosted here at BAC. With the Thrive training yesterday, the various events going on today, the main conference, the hubs going on till as we carry on into next week. Fantastic. I mean, we've come an enormous way, and it's really, really exciting, I think, to see how that has actually gone. And so what I think is really exciting about this conference that we're going to have now is it's our usual tried and tested mixture of things that we know are going to work really well, things that we've done a number of times, and things that are complete seat of the pants, we have no idea, just jump in and see what happens. So there's that lovely kind of edge between order and chaos and not quite knowing where it's going to go. And that's something that we kind of thrive on, I think. And as Peter said, you know, when we started doing transition, a lot of the things we were kind of thinking about then and motivated by, and we would talk about the times when we would see this and when we would see that, you know, we're there now. We talk about building resilience in extraordinary times. Well, these are those extraordinary times now. It's not anymore something off in the future. The unprecedented melting in the Arctic ice this summer, which has climate scientists walking around with a rather sort of looking kind of pallid and haunted, I think, by the scale of what's happened just off the charts. Peak oil, which is an issue which has kind of ebbed and flowed, and all the sort of recent things people have been throwing in about fracking will make it all right, this kind of thing. And George Monbiot recently saying, peak oil, load of rubbish, we don't need to worry about that anymore. I was wrong on peak oil, it's all a load of rubbish, based on one report by an oil company executive. And all the people since then who've said, well, actually, no, that's really not the case. And the economic situation, and there are many people here who've travelled from countries where that economic crisis is being felt far more acutely than it is here at this stage. And tomorrow we have a workshop with Juan from Spain and Filipa, looking at actually what does that mean for transition and how we present that. So those things that felt like they were impending and kind of imminent, we're in these extraordinary times now. But actually what's really exciting as well is I think the opportunities that are opening up in that time, and many of those have been being explored today in the Reconomy event, and the things that are opening up through the potential of economic localization, through the potential, there's another workshop as well tomorrow which is going to be looking at localism and how we can use some of those tools in, here in the UK for doing all kinds of exciting stuff at a community level, the role the arts can play, which is why we're delighted to be back here again. And I was really touched the other day by a quote that John Ruskin said. He said, "All great and beautiful work has come first of gazing without shrinking into the darkness." And I like to think of transition as a great and beautiful work that we've all collaboratively, and many, many, many hundreds and thousands of people who aren't able to be here this weekend, but who are following what's happening here remotely, whether through Twitter or whatever, or you know, however they follow what's going on here. And when we started transition as well, nobody really talked about resilience very much, apart from a few kind of nerdy ecologists and some sort of computery types, you know. But actually now we're kind of this idea of, well, what does resilience mean in the context of resilient people, in terms of resilient communities, resilient groups, resilient enterprises, resilient infrastructure? And over this couple of days, particularly tomorrow in the workshop session, all of those areas will be explored in how we can actually do that. And I think that actually what this debate that we're doing in transition and the stuff that we're doing is so, so important at this time. The debates nationally, certainly here in the UK anyway, but I think in many other places, are on a really crucial time where there's a whole big push of saying the way out of this economic situation is to gas fracking, is economic growth, is new runways at airports, is big infrastructure projects, is all those things which deliberately and actively undermine resilience. We need to remove all the regulation from business. We have to let business do exactly what it wants to do. And at the moment, that alternative story isn't really there, but it's coming through, and it's coming through very fast. And I think certainly the Reconomy today was an amazing taste of that and what it could mean, but also what we do with the threats to resilience, such as in Slathwaite in Yorkshire. Many of you will have seen in the transition film the story there of the Green Valley Grocer. Fantastic story about the starting up, linking with other things going on in there, being a catalyst for all kinds of new enterprises. And now there's the threat of a big, huge Morrisons opening in a warehouse down the other end of the road. And those of you who followed the Costa campaign in Totnes will know that actually we don't have the tools to protect the resilience that we do have. And that's an important part of it as well. But increasingly for me, transition is really about stories and the stories that we tell. And whether it's, I'm so excited as a Bristol boy myself. This is the first glimpse of Bristol Pounds, which there will be a workshop about tomorrow. But these will be launched officially on Tuesday. Next Wednesday in Bristol St. Nicholas Market. This is really exciting, game-changing initiative, a citywide local currency backed by the local a citywide local currency backed by the local council, which you can use to pay your business rates with pay by text system. Really, really exciting. You're welcome to come up and have a look at these afterwards. Or whether it's Bath and West Community Energy, this sort of community-owned and funded energy company, the Atmos project in Totnes, which I get very excited about, which is about taking 8 acres of derelict industrial site into community ownership, which is tangibly close. Things like the Shrewsbury Hydro Scheme, all these things that are going on, planting trees, but how those stories ripple out. So the Trash Catchers Carnival that was held in Tooting, and there's now in South Africa, in Greater, and in South Africa they're doing something which is very, very similar. You know, once we start these stories, they just go off all over the place. And it feels to me like the stories that transition groups tell kind of breathe possibility into the place where it's happening. And I was thinking on the train coming up today, it's like in those Just So stories that Rudyard Kipling wrote about how God would get clay and make a little animal and then breathe into it and it would fly off. That in a sense, what we do with transition is breathe possibility into the place that we have. And more you can kind of see how that starts to pick up and develop a momentum and a life in that sense. And that's really, for me, what resilience is about the sense of possibilities, that as we come into times of rapid change, what do we think is possible in that time? When things get very difficult, what do we believe is possible? And that's part of what transition is doing. So you may be doing a project in the place where you are and think it's very small and significant and insignificant, but you have no idea of how it affects the people around and how it starts to shift their sense of what's possible. I got a letter the other day, an email the other day from America, from a group, from an order of nuns who wanted permission to republish on their website some of the materials that we had, because they wanted to get all the nuns in their order of nuns, and they have orders of nuns in about 5 or 6 different countries around the world, out there pushing for transition and driving transition. So there will be an order of the Sisters of the Great Transition. That's not actually what they're called. I can't remember what they're called, but I like it. It's quite snappy. So they're out there, and you just get things like that coming all the time, which you start to just get this sense of, you let it go. And, you know, so many of you here who are doing remarkable things. You know, so where are we as transition, the transition movement, as Transition Network? I think in terms of some of the challenges, there are things like measurement and documenting what we're doing and really building up that kind of case. What level of support? You know, there are people here from Transition Network. We're really keen to hear from you, you know, what Transition Network provides in terms of resources and tools and support. How could that be better? How else could we help you with that? The whole thing of communications, it should be, there's so much happening every month when Amber and myself do the roundup that we do, you know, of all the stories happening in transition. It just gets longer and longer and more extraordinary every month. And there's so many stories in there that should be in the media, but they're not really being picked up yet. So there's that work of Transition Network in terms of communicating those stories and really getting them out there. And that idea of transition as a big idea is really important, I think. You know, but we're working on it, and there's lots of stuff going on and people coming in to help make that all happen, I think. And so it feels like a really vital time to kind of push on to the next level of this. I did want to just sort of pause just for 1 minute as well to acknowledge someone who isn't here, who will be kind of missed over this weekend, who's Adrienne Campbell, who many of you will know, who's a very dear friend of lots of ours, who's been to all of these from the beginning, who's not going to be with us for very much longer. And so we send a lot of care and love to her and to her family over this weekend. So we're really delighted to be back here back again. And one of the reasons for that has been that most places where we've done Transition Network Conference, we could just as easily have been an Amway sales conference or a sort of vacuum cleaner salesman conference. You know, we kind of go in, we rent the space, and then we go again. The lovely thing about back is when we came here, there was a real, and I mean, David will talk about this in a minute, but there was a real kind of impact of having this here at BAC. And it's been really delightful to see how transition thinking and the kind of transition buzz that was brought here has really gone on to underpin the work and the thinking that's happened here at BAC. And that's really, really exciting. So this is your weekend. This is your conference. And many of you spend a lot of your time in your communities doing this work, and sometimes it feels like you're carrying the whole community on your shoulders, maybe. Sometimes it's exhilarating. Sometimes you have moments where it's absolutely thrilling. Sometimes it's bloody hard work and exhausting. This is your conference. This is your time to take some time, take some space, be with other people who are doing the same thing. So if you want to dash about and go to loads and loads of workshops, that's fantastic. If you want to sit and watch it all go by and just take some time for yourself, that's fantastic too. This is your time, and we're really, really delighted to have you here. So that's all I have to say. We're really delighted to have you. Thank you. It's going to be a fantastic couple of days. And thank you to everybody who's also made the events that we've had before now happen, the Thrive Training, the Reconomy Day, and the youth event. There have been really exciting developments for us. So I'd like to invite David Micklem here from BAC to welcome us all here, to welcome you here and to set some of the scene. Thanks very much. Have a fantastic couple of days.
Hello, hello, you can hear me. I'm David Micklem. Thank you, Rob, for that. I'm one of the joint artistic directors here at Battersea Arts Centre. And the first thing to say is, again, another huge welcome. Welcome to the Grand Hall as well, in this, the former Town Hall for Battersea. If you've been with us for the Reconomy Day, I hope you've been inspired and enjoyed this lovely building. And for those of you who are here in 2009 for the conference, welcome back. I hope you've seen some changes since you were last here, and we hope your experiences here have helped in some way the processes of transition in your communities. And for those of you coming to Battersea Arts Centre for the first time, the warmest of welcomes, and here's to an inspiring and powerful weekend full of ideas and action. So why are we here? Why now? Why in this building? And I don't mean that in the existential sense, but why here? Why now? Why in this building? And to answer those questions, if I can, just a very, very short bit of history. In 1893, this building and this beautiful hall were built as the town hall for Battersea. At that time, Battersea was undergoing its own transition. For centuries, the area had been at the periphery of a small riverside village. During the 19th century, previously open land was taken over by four railway companies, and in 1863, Clapham Junction, which many of you probably pass through today, opened. Railway lines, workers' cottages, Price's Candles, Carton's Glucose Factory, flour mills, breweries, and the Nine Elms Gasworks dominated this area of southwest London. By 1891, Battersea's population had reached 150,000, and this town hall was commissioned to provide local government offices for this expanding community. With the growing population, the people of this part of London needed a place to come to meet their elected representatives, to debate, to congregate, and to celebrate. And hundreds of thousands of people use this building each year for council meetings, for entertainment, even to see the town hall nurse who lived in one of the tiny attic bedrooms at the top of the building. This place was, and we think still is, the centre of civic society around here, a space with a history of enabling change and radical ideas. For 60 years, this building has hosted ordinary and extraordinary people who came together to improve life in this part of London. In this very room, in the Grand Hall, John Archer, London's first black mayor, and John Burns, Battersea's radical progressive MP, made seminal speeches that influenced politics both locally and nationally. On the stage behind me, Charlotte Despard and Emmeline Pankhurst championed women's rights in rallies from that stage in the early 1900s. And in this very room in 1977, The Jam played. So this building's got an extraordinary history, and it's that history and the building's ongoing role at the centre of a local community that informs much of our work. Since 1980, we've been a theatre, and we've been trying out new ideas in this building in partnership with our audience. And so tonight, as well as welcoming you here, we have a huge number of shows in the building, some of which you might have experienced some of in the bar earlier. And those shows all celebrate creativity and the power of new ideas to change things. And we think there's something about the energy of this old town hall that is almost an inescapable force that we feel compelled to channel and direct into all of our work. Battersea's adopted motto for the Latin scholars, non mihi, non tibi, sed nobis, not for me, not for you, but for us, we think defines a spirit of collaboration that's become part of the organisational DNA of this building and the people who occupy it. For 30 years as an art centre, we've occupied this site, and that motto, that sense of together we are better and stronger, pervades to this day. As Robert said, in 2009 we hosted the Transition Network UK conference, and that conference was a catalyst for us. It helped us think about how we might power down, how we might reduce our emissions, our reliance on fossil fuels, and how we might build a more resilient community of artists, of staff, and audiences. 3 years on, and our drive of transition has become even more urgent. And the theme of this conference, Building Resilience in Extraordinary Times, chimes with one of our central preoccupations. We are asking ourselves questions, what a theatre might look like in 2012 and beyond. What role should a theatre play in a community in these extraordinary times? And can we become a transition town hall? I'm looking forward to a fabulous weekend with you all here. So let's hope we can channel some of this building's radical past. Here's the great ideas. Thank you.
Wow, this is so cool you're all here. It's brilliant. So it can feel like we're sort of endless speeches because there's actually so many things to say. So if you could just turn round to a neighbour just now, somebody you don't know, and introduce yourself, say your name, where you're from, and just something about why you're here and what you're wanting out of the conference. So this is one of the little mystic symbols of a transition conference, that if you see somebody with their hand up, you put your hand up and you stop talking. And it works like magic. How many of you here are involved in a transition initiative? Wave at me. Wow, that's a lot of people. Fantastic. And how many of you are not from the UK? Look at that. That is really super cool. How many of you, this is your first conference, transition conference? Wow. And how many of you are just here out of interest and you're not really involved in any particular transition initiative? Welcome, welcome. Yeah. So I just really wanted to invite the spirit of curiosity while you're here. We've got a really rich program that somebody will go over later. But, you know, there's bound to be holes. There's bound to be things where you think, oh, that was the one thing I wanted. But I can tell you that somewhere here there's going to be somebody that wants to have that conversation. So if you could just get really proactive about whatever it is that you're thirsty to know about. And we've devised all sorts of different ways that you can connect with people, which will become clearer later. But just that thing, rather than kind of, oh, I wish they'd had that, seek out those people. And there'll also be some open space tomorrow so that any of you can convene a table with whatever it is that you're interested in. So we're hoping that we've created a rich network of ways. So follow your feet, follow your curiosity, and meet each other. There's an amazing group of people here. And I just wanted to just really honour the work that you're all doing back in your initiatives. It's just amazing that so many of you are doing that. And something about deep respect for the, how should I say, the intention or the impulse to create a more beautiful world, to create more sustainability in community, more community resilience. Amazing. It's beautiful. And so that's those two things. I also wanted to reiterate really what Rob said, which is how we're, one person said to me once, 1 + 1 is not 2, it's 11. And there's something about just doing things together, because we can have that thing of a shared vision of transition, but then we actually get down to doing the nuts and bolts, and then we actually have to get on with each other and see that your shared vision has a different route to getting there to my shared vision. And then we're in the challenge of how we do things together, how we relate with each other, what kind of culture of communication do we want to have. So that's also a really big part of our resilience and our community connections. So just also, there's going to be many challenges through the conference to connect and relate and find out who is the mystery of these other people. Sorry, I'm not very good with all these bits of paper. Yeah, the other thing is a bit like Rob said, I loved what you said, you know, if you want to just sit and watch the whole thing go by, that it's a very full program with the intention of putting on as many different diverse aspects as possible. And if that starts to get a bit overwhelming and you think, oh my God, it's just too much, because actually we're living in a world that's just too much, aren't we? So we're going to repeat that here because that's just the nature of things. What happens out there happens in here, happens out there. So just listen to yourselves. If you don't want to do something, maybe somebody else from your community might go to that workshop that you were interested in but don't have the energy to, and they could report back to you. So spread yourselves, you know, with people in your community posting different of you to different workshops. You can then bring back that knowledge to your community together. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I just wanted to check in. How many of you, is English not your first language? Okay. So if any reason you don't understand, or someone up here or someone in a workshop is speaking too fast and you don't understand, we have this symbol which is this, which is an L, that means language. So all you have to do is go like this, And any workshop leaders, if you see that happening, it means that you need to check in, slow down, maybe simplify your language. Yeah, is that good? There's this one that we've already had, which is if you put up your hand, then you put your hand, you see a hand up, you put your hand up and you be quiet. Then there's another one if you can't hear or something like that, you know, the usual. Let's all do that together. Come on, let's hurry up. Yeah, good, excellent, marvelous. And another one that's already happened is these jazz hands. I can't do it with the microphone, so if I could have some assistance, which means that I agree with what is being said. I agree with you, I resonate with that. And that can be used at any point during the conference. Good. So I know that there's a couple of people with hearing difficulty. If there's anybody who has trouble hearing who we don't know about yet, if you feel you want to, there's a loop in this room. So just go to reception and let them know and they can help you with whatever you might need. And the same with mobility issues. A couple of people have made themselves known, but if there's anybody else, just you're welcome to go to reception and hopefully we can help you find what you need. There's also each other. You know, I really want to encourage you, if you need something, to not only have to be reception, but also you could turn to a neighbor, even if you don't know them, and say, I really need a bit of help just now. I can't remember where on earth that room was, or where's the toilet, or actually, I'm really exhausted. Can you spend a moment with me? Yeah? Any of those things. Put your hand up if you'd be willing to do any of that for anybody. See, there you go. We've got community. Lovely. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jo. So I'm Ruth, and as Rob, I think, said, or Pete said earlier, Jo and Chrissy and myself are going to be facilitating or holding the flow of the conference. And we've been working as a team, so instead of just one of us holding it all, it's been fantastic over the last 3 or 4 months together, supported by everyone else in the network, to be able to shape and flow this conference. So today, as Rob said, we've had 3 what we might call pre-conference events, where different people, over 200 people we've had today in different parts of the building, have been together adding a piece of different aspects of building resilience in these extraordinary times. We've had the Thrive Training Day, we've had the Re-Economy Day, and the Youth Day. So they've been bringing their collective imagination, wisdom, experience in the build-up to the conference today. So we're just going to hear a little bit from a couple of those. So first of all, I'm going to invite Martin Grimshaw, but I didn't overhear. Thanks, Martin, who is a participant today, just to come and give us a little bit of reflection.
Thanks. So yeah, I'm Martin Grimshaw from Brighton on the south coast of England. And I was asked to say a little bit about today's Re-Economy conference. I've been told I've got 5 minutes. I'm not sure if I need that long, but if I'm going way off piste and it gets to 4.5 minutes, please do that or something. Yep. So, okay. Firstly, can I get a show of hands? If I say Re-Economy, can I get, put your hands up if you know what that means? I think I do, but I don't. Okay, that's a really pleasant surprise. So, I managed to get hold of Shane from the Re-Economy Project in the toilets just before I came in here. I was asked to talk about this about half an hour ago. Thanks. And I said, Shane, like, you know, what's this all about? And he said, well, look, what the objectives were was to kind of infect the transition conference with the spirit of Re-Economy. And so I want to sort of infect you a little bit with what I feel is the spirit of Re-Economy. And so I want to do that by sharing a personal story. So my very first ever transition meeting in Brighton, it was the first transition meeting, and 150 people turned up, which is great. A lot of people in little villages saying, you know, there's only three of us, might be jealous at that point. There was 150 people, and everyone sort of split off into groups. It did an open space session. And everyone split up into the exciting things like energy and food and so on. And I was there on my own with a little piece of paper, and I'd written on it business and economics. And I stood there for a long time on my own. And eventually one person turned up and tried to have a conversation with me and then went away, and another person came. And so for me to be here at the Reconomy conference today, where there was, I don't even know how, I think 150, 160 people, and then to be here at the introduction to the rest of the weekend, and to have so many hands up in the air, of people saying, yeah, I get this Reconomy thing, is really exciting for me. And so for me, when I first got into transition, I really got that at the core of transition is this idea that we need to be nurturing the transition economy. When I say nurturing the transition economy, I mean we need to be nurturing transition livelihoods, transition enterprises. How are we all going to make a living in years to come? And how can we transform our day jobs into something which is part of the solution? How can we look at what the solution needs to be and take that from being something we do at an evening meeting? We do transition meetings in the evenings and we talk about these things. How can we take that from the evenings and turn it into what we do in the daytime? And so for me, that was really core to my understanding of transition. And it felt at the start that there wasn't many of us really getting that. And over time, everyone's got excited about doing, let's say, energy projects and food projects. And over time, they've all gone, we're a bit burnt out now, and no one's got any money, and we're struggling to pay our rent. And we try to set up a business, but it's not going too well, or you know, we need advice. And so it's become really clear to me now, and I think clear to a lot of people, that we really need to embed this idea into the heart of transition, everything we do, that we are nurturing a new transition economy. And that's the birthplace, the home of all these great ideas we have. And I want to infect you with the idea that we need to get serious about paying people to do transition work. Yeah? And there's lots of... Thank you. You can clap for that. I've completely lost my track. So what happened today? Okay, so for those of you who turned up, welcome. Just turn up this evening. Some of you have already been here all day today. You're, I think, going to hear about in a minute the Youth Summit, which I'm really excited about because, you know, when I think about why I'm doing transition, I think about my future kids, my nieces and nephews, my future grandchildren, perhaps. And so I'm really happy to have the kids here. But I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened today. It was great, I'm really enthusiastic. I'm really happy. Okay, the one thing I'm going to say in my last 25 seconds is, why I come. So the Buddhists, I'm not, you know, I don't want to get into religion or anything, but like the Buddhists talk about this term, the Sangha, which is like the spiritual community. So I didn't come here to learn anything new. I came here to reconnect with the community, to reconnect with people. And you are that community for me personally. And I want to infect you with this idea that we're all here to create something beautiful this weekend that will carry us forward for the next year and the years after that. And I'll stop there. Thanks.
Thank you. And now we're going to hear from Isabel Carlisle, who is coordinating the education strategy for Transition Network. She's going to speak about the Youth Day today. Thanks, Isabel.
Thank you very much, Ruth. So at the conference last year in Liverpool, quite a few people realized there weren't very many young people around. Certainly not young adults. There were some younger kids who had their own program. And I was just at the beginning at that time to think about, well, how do we really open up space for young people in transition? And I was thinking very much about schools and how can we create a whole schools in transition program. But I thought, right, you know, at the next conference, we have got to have more young adults here. And so I, over the next couple of months, convened a really fantastic dynamic team of 8 young people aged between about 17 and 27. And together over about 4 or 5 months of regular Skyping, we came up with 2 ideas. And one was to have a youth day at the conference today, which I'll tell you about in a minute. And the other was to create a year-long program called 1 Year in Transition for Young People, which is a training program, which I'll also tell you about because we're launching it here now. So we had a youth day today, and we had 40 people in the room upstairs, which was amazing. And there were about, yay. There were only about 3 of us who could call ourselves elders. Most rest of them really were youth. About a third were already engaged in transition, and about 2/3 weren't, were interested. Some didn't know very much about it. And so we felt we were really kind of at that edge of pulling in people from outside who were curious and wanted to know more. And in the morning, we had some talks. We looked at gift culture with Mark Boyle. Lee Brain from Transition Prince Rupert Island in Canada gave us a really impassioned and inspiring speech about what's happening in Canada and what's happening in the world and what young people can do about it. And Rob came to talk to us after lunch, and we looked at things like right livelihood. And then we went into discussion sessions in the afternoon, and we had a World Cafe. And in the World Cafe, we were really looking at 3 different questions. One was, how do I find my path in the world? And how do I find a path that's aligned with my core values? What does it mean to be a young person in transition? And what next? And we came up with some wonderful metaphors, like kind of surfing the wave into the future and creating the tribe of now. And I have to say, at the end of the day, the energy was as high, if not higher, than at the beginning. And we have the beginnings of a transition youth network, which is really fantastic. And I really hope at the next conference that there'll be many more young people sitting in amongst us in this audience, totally integrated into what we're doing. And so just to tell you very quickly about 1 Year in Transition. 1 Year in Transition is a new program for young people who want to step into community or want to deepen their commitment to the community that they're in. And we give them 10 months training, which enables them to have the experiences of being in community in a transition initiative and engaging in projects, engaging in group facilitation, looking at conflict resolution, communication skills, and also learning with 2 skills masters of their choice, whatever skills, practical skills they want to learn. And then at the end of the year, they develop their own masterpiece. You could say it's a kind of apprenticeship program, but we're not calling it that. And they also get a personal mentor to help them all the way through. And we're weaving inner and outer together. And I have an ask for you. So if you feel you're an initiative that would like to host a young person for 3 to 4 months, or are a skills master who can offer a skill, would like to take a young person on and train them for 6 to 12 weeks or so, there's a sign-up sheet there in the back right-hand corner, and I'm here to tell you about more about what 1 Year in Transition is. But we really are taking a very old idea and taking it into the future and thinking very much about community-supported learning and how can transition help these young people find the livelihoods that they're looking for that are aligned with their passions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Really inspiring. Just out of interest, can you just put up your hand if you were at one of these events today? Wow. Okay. Okay, you can put your hands down. So I just want to thank you for coming here today before this conference has begun and for doing this work on behalf of us all. And please bring it into the conference. If you weren't there, ask questions about it. It's part of the soup that will be digested and absorbed over these 2 days that we're going to spend together. So just to warm ourselves up a little bit, I'm going to pass over to Inez, who's going to lead us in a bit of a song.
Hello, yes. Okay, so those of you who've seen me here before at conferences probably know that I like to get people together to sing. And raise your hand if when I say singing, you don't get at all nervous. If you don't get nervous when I say that we're going to sing. Okay. All right. Some of you are a bit braver than others. One of the reasons I like us to get together and sing is because as we're all talking about all these extraordinary things that are going on, you're going to have a conference where we're going to put our heads together and think about all this. And I think it's really important that we don't forget we have bodies as well. And it's quite nice to use your body. It's quite nice to use your voice. And for this evening, I thought I'd offer you a little motivational chant. So what we need to do first is we need to do some movements before we do the motivational chant. And I will have to put the microphone down, and you'll have to get up from your chairs. I'd like to learn some really lovely harmony singing. I can teach you that tomorrow evening between 6 and 7. Okay?
Hello, it's my turn now. My name's Chrissy, and I'm one of the conference team this year for the first time, which is exciting. And I get the air stewardess job, the one of making the announcements. So, you know, those kind of actions you're likely to be seeing from me at various intervals during the conference. And the first announcement I have to make is that these were found outside the door of the youth conference today. And I don't know if anybody owns these or recognises these, but these will be put at the front desk. And if you hear of anybody missing these, that's where they shall be. Now, I've got my clever little announcement notebook here so that I don't lose track of what I'm doing, but I have to put my glasses down to be able to see what I'm doing. So I've got a microphone and a book. Right, okay. So you have some really useful things to help you negotiate your way through this conference. And the first very useful thing that you have is a name badge. Not that you might forget your name, although, you know, it could be one of those weekends, couldn't it? But so that you have the opportunity to find out what other people are called. And extremely usefully, it says down here, I come from, so you can put where you come from. And then it says, talk to me about. And that's where you can put down a topic of conversation that you would just love to have with somebody else. Could be anything you want. Probably, you know, in the realm of transitions, kind of a good idea. But take advantage of this. Notice other people's names, obviously, because you want to connect with people. But notice what they're interested in talking about and ask them about it. Make that a real opportunity to connect with other people. The right way up would help, wouldn't it? Okay, so that's one way of you just finding out who each other is. When you registered here, you will have also have been asked whether you would like your name to be on an email list, a contacts list. If you missed that and you do want to be on that, make sure you talk to Sim and Kristen on reception, because what will happen after this conference is that for a short time only on the Transition Network website, there will be a list of emails for the people who are here who wish to share them. So this means you don't have to rush around trying to scribble down emails all the time that you're here. You've just got to get the person's name and then remember to look on the website for, I guess it's going to be that, well, maybe there for a week or 2 weeks, but just remember to do that. That's one way of connecting with people. So, right, the other really useful thing that you've got is your one piece of paper. Right, we've really restricted handouts this time. You have one piece of paper, and this is your navigation tool for the conference. And if, yeah, so on one side of your one piece of paper, you've got the basic outline of Saturday and Sunday. And on, yes? Aha! It's behind me. So, some people haven't got a piece of paper, right. I think they are currently outside on that reception desk, so before you go tonight, do make sure that you get your hands on one, because it is your lifeline for knowing what you want to do and when to do it. So, I'm not going to go through the conference program in detail, but it's just to flag up that Saturday is a mix of workshop sessions, 10 or 11 at a go, first thing in the morning. Then in the afternoon, we've got an open space session, which obviously starts out as a whole group, but it is where you can bring the topics and the issues and the conversations you want to have with other people that perhaps you don't feel are met elsewhere in the conference or that you just want to have anyway. Then back for more workshops, then some fantastic free time, including if I can get a volunteer to bring a football with them tomorrow. She forgot it. Yes. Has anybody got a... Fantastic. Football man. Okay. This means that if anyone wants to go down to, and frisbees, anything, yes, outdoor toys. It means you can all go down to Clapham Common in the break when the sort of workshop ends at 6, as long as you're back in time for 8 o'clock, because we have got the most fantastic cabaret here on Saturday night, which has been co-programmed with BAC staff and Ruth here, and it's just going to be stonkingly wonderful. So that kicks off at 8 o'clock in the Grand Hall here. So that's Saturday. Sunday, yeah, is slightly different. If you're really enthusiastically a morning person, you can go swimming at Tooting Beck Lido. But the day kicks off at 9:30, and the entire morning is given over to a whole group process, which we're keeping under wraps. It's the bit where Rob was saying, flying by the seat of your pants. That's going to be that morning session. But it is where you will discover why, in the depths of rural Somerset, three of us spent a day making 384 blackboards. So obviously you have to come along for that, if nothing else. And then in the afternoon there'll be time to meet, to gather together, to reflect on the conference, and to have a plenary session. So that's how it's going to go, which is great. So make sure you've got your bit of paper. Oh, and in order so that glasses. Sorry about that. We have sign-up sheets all over the place for you to do different things, and one of the things you have to do is sign up for workshops, not least because some of them are limited in number. So I think it says on the bit of paper which ones are, but just in case not all of them are on there. On the wall at the side here, we have the two sets of workshops on Saturday for you to sign up for. Really recommend that you have a little look at those before you go home tonight and start to put your name down on ones that you know you really, really fancy. We also have sign-ups at the back of the room there, which I think says asks, offers, and marriages. Marriages. Which is obviously where you can leave requests for things you want, things that you are offering to other people, and proposals of marriage for people that you've just met in the conference for the first time are all up there. Don't just go up there and write, go up and visit. Even if you've got nothing that you particularly want to put up there, go and have a visit and see what other people have put. It might be something you then want to respond to. In the middle, those three bits of paper in the middle, this is your wonderful transition network board, trust, who want feedback on how they're doing. How are they doing? How are they supporting you out in your initiatives? And they've got three bits of paper there, and they would really like your responses to the sort of services, the sort of the ways that they are supporting us on the ground. And then, as Isabel has already said, on the right-hand side, we have a place for you to write down any offers you have to support young people in this fantastic new Year in Transition initiative. That would be brilliant if you could do that. I'm nearly there. Okay, glasses back down on the nose. Now, Battersea Arts Centre is an old town hall, as David explained, which means it's got some very peculiarly named rooms. We've got the Rate Collector's Hall, the Town Clerk's Room, the Members' Library, and to be frank, it's a pretty strange building to try and find your way around if you've not been here before, and even if you have, it's still pretty strange. So, you're going to be going to workshops in rooms with funny names, and we're going to do our absolute best to signpost you to those, so there will be a mix of signs plus extremely friendly and helpful stewardess-like people, or stewards if they're male, who will be saying, right, rent collectors things up here and rate room is round there. So as and when you get to go to a workshop and you're having that little mild moment of panic because you've no idea where you're going, don't worry. Either follow the most confident person you can see in the room or just find one of these people who is obviously directing you around the building. And also, it's worth saying that Battersea Arts Centre is a thriving, living, working arts centre. They haven't shut just because we're here. We are sharing this building with their public over the weekend as well. And just to recognise that we are guests here and that things are happening in rooms besides the rooms that we're in. And sometimes things are happening in rooms that we're in after we've been in them. So just be really aware that when a workshop's finished, you might need to move smartly out because there could well be a strange performance of something fabulous and fantastic within the hour in that very same room. They also go ballistic if you put blue tack on the walls or stick pins in them, so don't do that either, or sellotape. Okay. And that, from me now, is that. Thank you very much.
Okay. So we've just heard information about what's coming, what's going to be ahead over this weekend. And I just want to bring us back down just to now, just to this moment here, and just to invite us all just to take a breath. Yeah. Just to have a little look around at each other. Here we are, together, beginning this journey. Just notice the space that we're in, that we're going to fill with our ideas, our connections. Just invite us all just to take a moment. You might want to close your eyes. If you feel comfortable, you don't have to. Just to breathe and just to reflect on, what are you bringing here? What do you have to give and contribute to this conference? And what are you hoping to take away with you? For yourself, for your initiative, for the world. Just take a moment. And we're going to invite you to just push the chairs back so that we can just find out a little bit more about each other before we go off into the night and meet again tomorrow. So if you can just push the chairs to the side and come and just stand in the center of the room.
Hello. Oh, God. Okay. So, I am standing at Battersea Arts Centre. So, what I want you to do is arrange yourself in the room with your distance from Battersea Arts Centre, as in where you are currently residing, where your transition initiative is. So, for example, London would be here. You with me? So let yourselves do that. It's just distance. Doesn't matter. North, south, doesn't matter. Just distance from.
Distance. It's just distance. How far away?
Yeah, that's good.
David.
Yes, I'm right here.
Is it possible for these three mics to be up all at once?
So it's just an approximate thing. We're not trying to kind of draw a map of the world. Cool. Okay, and just letting yourself talk to two or three people in your kind of little band. But people that you don't know, people that you don't know. Okay. Fantastic. If we could now stand around the edges of the space and make a big standing circle with a big circle space in the middle. Okay, so we just want to hear a few news items from what's going on out there. So step forward into the centre if you're over 60. Fantastic. So we'd love to hear a news item from a transition initiative from one of you. A good news item. If you just put your hand up if you feel you've something to say. Fantastic.
Wonderful.
Thank
right.
You.
Who have we got? Janice, tell us your...
In my group, we're talking rubbish.
One more. One of these. Say your name first as well.
Yeah. Thomas, and we just held a market last week. We had 2,000 people come, and we held a party in our town with all local businesses.
Thank you all. Respect to our elders. Okay. If you could step forward if you're under 20. Is anybody here under 20? Whoa. All right. Under 25. Under 25? Yeah. Great. Would any of you be able to give us a news item of something that's happening around where you are?
We just started a new group in Bruges 1 week ago with Transition Flanders.
Is that all of you? Is that you four? No.
No.
Another one from someone else.
I'm Stephen, I'm from Charlottesville in the States, and we recently got our city council to reconsider a chloramine water purification action that they tried to pass without any citizen consent. So we got them not only to hold a public hearing, but after every single person spoke out against chloramine, they took it off the table. So.
Thank you all very much. So step forward if you feel that your transition initiative is thriving and it's got really good energy going. Okay, do any of you have a news item you'd like to share? Hands up, anybody? Come on, you're thriving. There's got to be some good news over here.
Hi, tell us your name and your...
My name is Paul Hendrickson. I'm from the Netherlands. We recently had a whole ribbon laid out throughout the city of Deventer of 12 kilometers. And it was designed for bee-friendly seeds. So we distributed over 3,000 sachets of bee-friendly seeds to 3,000 households. And they all participated in seeding that ribbon all along that route. And the local community, the local council, co-opted by changing their mowing regularity in low regularity. So and then they put out leaflets house to house to explain why they changed all that stuff. And it got national attention, and there's lots of other places now where they do that too. Yeah.
One more.
Hi, I'm Dave from Haddenham, and our Vale Harvest local food producers group had their first market in July. We had 250 people through the door. And our next one is in early October, and we're looking to go monthly. And it's only a small village of, well, a large village of 5,000 people, but we're really pleased.
Thank you. So if you guys step back and step forward if you feel that you could really, your initiative is struggling in the sense that you just haven't got enough people, there's not enough hands, you need more. You're just having to work really hard and it feels like a little bit of a challenge just now. A Fantastic. Let's just have any story. Doesn't have to be a good news story. Just a.
Alan from Transition Durham. Got me there. We've got 385 people on our email list, and we've got about 18 people who do all the work. I'm one of those 18 people. I'm knackered. So we had our AGM last week, and we have a new chair, and she's full of fun, and she's action-oriented, and she says it's talking less and focusing on priorities and doing more with those less things. So I put my hand up and said, I'll use my practical and technical skills to use a making local food work food mapping tool to provide the economic data to challenge the county council's economic strategy. And there's a whole bunch of other people in the room said, we'll help you do that, because it's a time-limited task, and that's the problem. We've had too many tasks that didn't have an end point, so this is one thing we can do in 6 months. Thank you.
One more person? Yeah,
hiya.
Yeah, one problem maybe with our group is that we don't have so much time to meet, because everyone is so busy growing vegetables.
Thank you all. So, okay, so let yourselves start to walk through the space. And we're going to do this thing where I'm going to say walk if. So if I say walk if your transition initiative is thriving, you keep walking. If that's not true, you stand still. Is that good? Okay. So just start by walking. It just helps us get a reading of how things are going. And Chrissy and Ruth are just going to mirror back what sort of percentage of you answer to each question.
We need to agree.
So walk if you feel it's early days in your transition initiative. It's quite new.
We think about 15%.
Excellent. Thank you. So walking again. Walk if you grew your own veg last year. Walk if you grew your own vegetables last year.
Describe it, Sophie.
Not all of them, just some of them, you know, just a little bit of veg.
Numbers, about percentages.
Cool. All walking again.
About 85%, we think.
Maybe 90, so more people are moving, they've just remembered.
Walk if your initiative runs some kind of skill swap or exchange program, however formal or informal that is. Okay. Something's not clear. I'm not being clear. If I say a question and the answer, your own answer to that question is yes, then you keep walking. If it's no, then you stand still and you don't walk. Yes? So let's do the vegetables again. Walk if you grew vegetables last year, which means if you did not grow vegetables last year, stand still.
It's about 85%, 90%. Of people.
Okay, so keep walking, or walk if your transition initiative runs some kind of skill swap or exchange. Whether that's formal,
language, people don't understand.
Swapping skills, exchanging your abilities, your
exchanging, yeah, teaching each other things, swapping seeds, swapping and exchanging. If your initiative swaps or exchanges things and skills, keep walking. Yeah, about 50%, we think. That's quite a lot. It is on. Okay.
Okay. My battery was going. Right. So pause, which means stop. Walk if your transition initiative happens in a big city. In other words, a large town, big city, bigger than about 100,000 people.
That's looking like about 20%, I think.
Okay, pause, stop. Walk if your transition initiative is in a small or medium-sized town, so 5 to 100,000 people.
Forty percent of you.
Come to a stop. Walk if your transition initiative is happening in a rural environment. Small village, rural, farming community.
That's only 10% of you from the villages.
Okay. So, that's it. That's cool, isn't it? There's some really, really wonderful things happening. And I'm sure there were many, many amazing stories that we could have had into the space. So just tell each other those stories. So we've just got a few final announcements before we close for today from Chrissy.
Yes, I shall stand on a chair so I can see you. Firstly, and this is a very important announcement for anyone who needs caffeine to function, the cafe in this building does not open first thing in the morning. There will be a tea break in the middle of the morning, but if you have to have your caffeine injection... Sorry, what was that? Yeah, well, absolutely. So, make sure that you stoke up on your caffeine and, of course, your breakfast before you get here. There's a cafe right next door. Good, excellent, brilliant. Local knowledge is a wonderful thing. The conference starts promptly at 9:30 tomorrow morning, and we've really had to struggle to get everything we want shoehorned into something that really should have been at least 3 weeks long instead of 2 days. So please, can you have it in your brains that the building opens at 9 o'clock in the morning? So kind of think 9 for 9:30 and be ready to be in here and ready to kick the day off promptly at 9:30. That would really, really help all of us to make sure that the day flows really, really well. You will also have been asked in your invitation letter to bring one or two old newspapers. These are a crucial element of the conference, and actually we'd have to cancel Sunday morning entirely unless we have newspapers. So if you didn't bring them with you today, tomorrow's your chance to rootle around and find some. If you don't buy them, then go and get free Metro, whatever it is they're called in London, I don't know. But not the Transition Free Press, no, absolutely not. If you brought any newspapers today with you and it's in your luggage and you want to get rid of them, then please just leave them under the table in the reception hall just outside there. And thank you in advance if that's what you did. But if not, your task tomorrow is to bring newspapers. And, oh, this is really important, yes. Apparently something that happens at conferences, these transition conferences every year, is one of the things that gets handed in regularly is notebooks. People have lost their notebooks. And there will be a proportion of you who will use your notebook. So please, can you make sure that you put your full name in the front of it so that I can stand up and do the air stewardess bit and say, I've got a notebook and it belongs to whatever your name is. And finally, if you have anything stored, if you arrived and stored your luggage in the luggage room just off the foyer, this rotunda foyer, make sure as soon as you walk out of here that you reconnect with and collect your stuff, because the room that it's in will get locked up in about half an hour's time and it will be there overnight. Jo has something?
Our host, David, said the bar is open until 11.
And on that note, from me and the conference team and from all of us to each other, let's just welcome each other once more and say, this is just going to be the most fantastic weekend, and we're going to create it together. Have a brilliant time.